So the questions Jesus asks, we've had a few of them, and you might be getting to the point going, yeah, I'm getting, there's something beyond just the basic question. Jesus is not asking the question because he's a little troubled or a little confused or he doesn't know the answer. Of course he knows the answer. It's to get deeper at who we are and what we're about. And today we're going to ask the question, what do you want me to do for you? That's what Jesus asked someone, and we're going to get to that. And it's from the book of Mark, and it's a fast-paced gospel, the book of Mark. It's full of action, full of events, one after another. It's full of exciting lows. It's full of exciting highs. It's that sort of book. And there are things in it like the word immediately, straight away, follow. There's these strong words that tell us this book is fast-moving. This gospel of Jesus, it's not a gentle, well, let's have a little think about it, it might do me good, you know, it's a nice little club to join. It's not a casual, let's think about it. It's like, this is not just going to get me more friends or something like that. It's a radical call to follow Jesus. And I think we're going to see that as we go through this story. So let's read the story. And it's in Mark 10, verses 46 to 52, if you've got a Bible, but it should come up behind me. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. And as I said at the beginning, the book of Mark is fast-paced. And Jesus has come from the villages around Caesarea and Philippi and began to tell his disciples and anyone who would listen, he is going to die. And then through Galilee, he heals a boy possessed by an evil spirit and all the while teaching the disciples and the crowd what it will mean to follow him. He asks a question at one point, "Who is the greatest amongst us?" And he goes on to say, "It's the least. The least, the servant, is the greatest amongst us." If you want to gain your life, you've got to lose it. These are sort of direct things that Jesus would say. And now to the story of Bartimaeus, right? This is what we're focusing on this morning. A blind beggar, a man with no hope, no future. A man who always relied on handouts. I would imagine quite a lonely man. He would have positioned himself on a roadside with the best possible opportunities to beg for money, where the footfall would be the greatest, on the road to Jerusalem. And it's worth thinking about for a minute or two how Bartimaeus came to find out about Jesus. Probably Bartimaeus would have heard the stories, some of the stories and events that Jesus encountered, what Jesus brought about. And maybe people would have stopped and told him these stories, and he would have asked them, "Stay, tell me more." The details of what this prophet, this man of God, has done. And they would tell him how he'd raised the dead. He'd restored sight to a man who had been born blind. Maybe Bartimaeus knew some scripture from when he'd been in the synagogue. I think it's worth thinking about faith, because it doesn't just come from nowhere. I think it's probably reasonable to assume that Bartimaeus had heard the stories about Jesus that inspired faith. I mean, what else is there to do if you just beg every day on the roadside but listen to the news of the day? And the news of Jesus must have gripped Bartimaeus. Day after day, hearing stories, rumours, but hearing about Jesus, the one who'd called someone to be could see again, who was blind from birth. He would have heard those stories over a couple of years period of time. And so faith is an important part of the story of Bartimaeus. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ." Someone, or more likely, a number of people told you about Jesus. That's how it works, right? Someone tells you about Jesus, and then someone else might, and then you respond to the message of Jesus. And that's how it worked for me. I remember I loved a bit of football, still enjoy it, but now it's more watching than playing. But there was a guy in our football team called Cecil, and he was a big centre forward, big strong guy, but he was a follower of Jesus. And he was the only one in the whole football team, the whole football club, who I was aware of that followed Jesus. So what a lovely target every training session, every match, to mock him for his faith. If he dared to say a word that he shouldn't say, out of, you know, a bit of frustration, we're on him, we're on his case. And then, but the thing is, every week he used to give me a lift home. So there'd be the relentless mocking for 2 hours whilst training, and then the half an hour journey home with me questioning him about his faith. And finally I became a Christian, not just through him, a number of other people, but we hear the stories of others, and that's how people come to faith. In this story, Jesus asks the question, what do you want me to do for you? And obviously Jesus knows the answer. He's drawing out what is of great importance, Bartimaeus' faith and his faith in Jesus as the Messiah. Who knows how the stories of Jesus were told to Bartimaeus, but he heard them and faith was at work in his heart. Bartimaeus had nothing to lose. He was weak, he was blind, but he had a growing faith in God's power. And the crowds would talk about Jesus of Nazareth, i.e. there's this man who's doing some amazing things and he comes from Nazareth, where he was from. But Bartimaeus recognized something different, that Jesus was far greater than a man from Nazareth. He shouts out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus is declaring that Jesus is the Messiah. He's not relying on human resource. He's not just to a man, Jesus of Nazareth. He's saying, this is the Messiah. And faith appears to be more alive when we're desperate. And Bartimaeus would have been desperate. Just a simple thing, and I've asked myself this question a number of times in recent weeks. What do you do when you get a headache? What do you do when... I mean, it's interesting this morning, right? We've had... As Toby very succinctly put it, we've had testimonies about car parking spaces and cancer. I was quite moved by that, really. And I asked myself this question as a result of preparing this. What do I do when I have a headache? What do I do when it's something a little bit more serious or I'm in fear or concern? Maybe I would go to a doctor. That's a good thing to do, right? So I'm not saying don't go there. Obviously go there. But there's an opportunity to grow in faith in loads of different ways. Sometimes the ease of our lifestyle, you know, if money's tight, maybe get a bank loan or something like that. Sometimes they can negate the opportunity to grow in faith. Bartimaeus is alone and he cries out to Jesus. He has faith in God's love for him. The crowd, as you've probably read the story before, are really annoyed at him. He's a nuisance. He's in the way. It's Jesus we want to hear from, we want to be with, not you shouting from the roadside. And it says, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. I love that. I'm more likely to be the one, I'll shut up then, I'm really getting in people's way here. But he pushed through. He had a trust and a faith that Jesus could do something for him. His desperate situation caused him to have only one consideration. I need Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I want to be like that more and more. I mean, obviously Bartimaeus was in a very difficult situation. He could not see. But I want to be like that in all of every circumstance of my life, that I'm reaching out to Jesus. And I love the church. I don't know about you. You're here this morning, so I'm going to recognize and reckoning that you too love the church, and particularly Grace Church. I love the church, and I always have. I got saved into New Frontiers Church, and church was so vital, so important. I loved it. I was born into that. And I'm so grateful that God places us in families, that you and I, we're part of Grace Church because God has placed us here. But it was never meant to replace our dependence on God. is absolutely part of God's provision, but not all of God's provision. Our faith ultimately must be in the Messiah, Jesus, the King of Kings. And Bartimaeus was really clear about this. He was not requesting help from anyone else but Jesus. And in our encouragement of one another, as we look to disciple one another, as we look to encourage one another, as we look to see people grow in their gifts before God for one another, I would say this: keep pointing one another to Jesus. Because sometimes I've thought, oh, I know a lot, but you know, I know nothing really. I need to point people to Jesus. If I can get someone one step closer to Jesus, that 2 minutes is worth 20 hours of me telling, you know, spouting out my perceived knowledge or wisdom. We need to point people to Jesus. As we look to sharpen one another, let's continue to point people to Jesus. And faith is so important, and faith must have action, somewhere to be expressed. In the book of James, it makes it really clear: faith without works or without action is dead. And Bartimaeus was not giving up. He was not deterred by the crowd trying to silence him. Bartimaeus was appealing to the character of God, a merciful God. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He gives us what we don't deserve. That's the God who we come to. And Bartimaeus would have had a limited understanding, but enough to appeal to the character of God, in the mercy of God. That's what he cried out: have mercy upon me. And Jesus always responds to faith. What obstacles are you facing today? What obstacles are you facing tomorrow? Have you run out of your own resources? And you know, I don't like to run out of my own resources, but it is a good place to be, because it helps us to lean into God more and more. Some of us, as Ashley mentioned earlier about the coming crisis, and some of us in this room may face difficult times in this coming year, in this coming season, financial difficulties. We can read the news, watch the news, and think the future is not that rosy, it's bleak. And I reckon we should cry out to God more and more. Bartimaeus, he was blind. He didn't have any future. And we don't know what the future has for us. But what I do know is this: God wants us to ask. Because he asks us the question, what do you want from me? And it's not just to give us things, and it is great that he does. It's great when he comes and answers our prayers, whether it's from cancer to the car park. But he wants us to grow in faith. And I love Danielle, your prayer and testimony. You know, it's so much more than the answer to prayer, because God is at work even when we feel a little bit, we're not doing enough or we're not praying enough. God is still at work. He wants our faith to increase. And in thinking about this, I ask myself this: how often do I really exercise faith? There's lots of times when I don't need to exercise faith. But I want to be someone who exercises faith moment by moment, hour by hour, day after day. Keep exercising faith in the everyday, in the mundane, but also in the big stuff, like Bartimaeus. We want to be a people who exercise faith day after day. And we're just going to read verse 49 and 50 again. Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. And the cloak, because of the way it is used, or was used then, tells everybody who I am. I'm a beggar. It would be laid out in front of him. I can't work. I've got no purpose. That was Bartimaeus's lot. And there's a lot going on in these two verses, I think. Firstly, I just find it interesting the crowd's reaction. "Shut up, Bartimaeus. Get out the way. You're a nuisance. You're a pain in the neck. Be quiet." That's what the crowd are saying. Then Jesus takes an interest in him. "Oh, come here, good fellow. You're one of us. Come and join us. Jesus wants to see you." It's quite an interesting response, I reckon. He has the attention of Jesus, and suddenly he becomes their mate. That's what I've read into it a bit, perhaps. But anyway, And I think about that, and I think, well, we need to be consistent with everyone who we meet, not just in this building, of course, absolutely in this building, but wherever we go, we're showing the kindness of God, whether that person looks like they need it or don't need it, whatever their social background, whatever it might be. We want to be a people who show no partiality. It's very easy to show favoritism. Secondly, Jesus stopped. He took notice of a blind beggar. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to face execution, yet he stops. Jesus again shows us his great compassion. That's who he is. The exact representation of God. When you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. And Jesus is on the way to crucifixion, and he takes this moment to spend time and bring healing to Bartimaeus. He's compassionate towards Bartimaeus. He's showing mercy towards Bartimaeus. And that same love and compassion and mercy God shows to Bartimaeus, he shows to you and me. He stops for Bartimaeus in the difficulty and mess of his situation. And he does the same with us. I'm sure Bartimaeus would have felt overlooked. I'm sure for the years that he was on that roadside begging, having dirt kicked in his face, getting enough money to survive, I guess. But he would have felt overlooked. Have you ever felt overlooked that life has passed you by? But Jesus is in our midst, just like Jesus came past and stopped with Bartimaeus. And do you believe that Jesus asked you the question today? What do you want me to do for you? Today, maybe you need healing, financial provision, or restoration of relationships, whatever it might be. The question is an important question. Bartimaeus was desperate and he knew what he needed. He needed healing. He wanted his sight restored. But he asked the question for us in our circumstances, and we are probably not in as desperate circumstances as Bartimaeus. But he still comes and asks us the question, what do you want me to do for you? And as that question goes out to you, like Bartimaeus, he's asking us a question because he's getting behind more than just our physical need. And if your first thought was the lottery, now I'm guessing most of us not down that route, but if it was, you know, our motivation and desires are out of sync with God's desires. But God doesn't do it to condemn us. If he was that person who thought, yeah, that'd be handy, that'd solve a few issues. Even if you do that, God is still for us. He's still the same God, but he's working in our hearts through these questions. And we can take heart from Bartimaeus. He cried out to God, and that's what we need to do in the things that we need. We may not have the same opposition. There might not be someone telling us to be quiet and shut up. It might look very different. But God is after our hearts and a heart that trusts him. Bartimaeus would have found real comfort and security in his cloak. That's what defined him. He needed it. It would have been a big piece of clothing that protected him from the sun, keep you warm at night. And in the Old Testament, it was even recognized an essential piece of equipment, so much so that it's mentioned that it can't be taken by a creditor. That's how significant a piece of clothing or equipment that it was, an essential part of sustaining your life. And Bartimaeus, what he did when Jesus called him, he threw his cloak aside. And throwing his cloak aside, Bartimaeus is letting go of his past. He's exercising faith by leaping to his feet to encounter Jesus and immediately relinquishing the security of his cloak. Throwing it is an action. It's a statement of faith. I'm going to get from Jesus what I came for. There was a determination. And when he threw away that cloak, it was a real defining moment for him. I have no more need of this cloak. I'm going to get my eyesight back. I can go and find fulfillment and I don't have to sit here week in, week out, just begging. It's really difficult, actually, as Bartimaeus threw this cloak, for us today, I think it's difficult to follow Jesus and hold on to the past. And there might be things in your life where this cloak you're dragging around with you, No one can see it. It's obviously not a real cloak. I know you understand that. But we can carry something around with us that drags us back, that keeps us from pressing in to who Jesus is. So we need to let go of the past to be able to really follow Jesus. Jesus said to a man, "Follow me." But the fella said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another verse says, "No one puts their hand to the plow and looks back. He's fit for service in the kingdom of God." In other words, when we follow Jesus, he's all we need. We don't need other things holding us back. We need to follow him with all our whole being. We're a new creation. We're born of God, a child of God. We don't need to look back and hold on to things that weigh us down in our Christian life. We're all on a journey, right? We all carry some stuff around and pick stuff up from that we've let go once. But the disciples also, they give us a great example of messing up but still pressing on with Jesus. And we're going to have a look at a little example in a moment or two. So there's always the grace of God available to you and I. But what do you cling on to that holds you back? Are there things that you're holding on to that hold you back, that you cling on to, that hold you back from really putting your trust and your whole life in Jesus' hands? Might be an unhealthy relationship, or that desire for financial security, or even a health issue that brings you a bit of identity. Maybe it's time to put them aside. And I don't know about you, but I've often put things aside and quite quickly pick them up again, or a little bit later pick them up again. That's okay. We can put them down again. We can say, "Jesus, I'm giving them to you." And then we're moving towards the end now. The heart is an important part. And I think that is really what Jesus is after every time he asks the question, our heart. And I don't want us to miss this comparison. Mark 10:35-40, so just a little bit earlier, says this: "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we want you to do for us whatever we ask.' 'What do you want me to do for you?' he asked. They replied, 'Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in glory.' 'You don't know what you're asking,' Jesus said. 'Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?' 'We can,' they answered." Anyone ever overpromised? "Jesus said to them, 'You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared.'" James and John, you know, significant people in the Bible and in the early church, want the best positions in the coming kingdom. The disciples, if you know anything of the Gospels, the disciples would often be jostling for position of superiority. Jesus has just predicted his death and they still don't get it. I imagine Jesus might have got a little bit fed up with them, but you know, that's the story. He had them for 3 years. I'm sure he got used to their ways. And they sound like kids, don't they? "We want you to do for us whatever we want." And Jesus replied, "What you want me to do for you? Sit your right and your left in glory," they say. They want status, not service. Position, not servanthood. They want honor instead of saying, "Jesus, I will drink this cup." To greatness in the kingdom of God is being a servant. It's being a servant of everyone. That's the greatness in the kingdom of God. Our answers to Jesus' questions to us, "What do you want me to do for you?" are revealing. James and John show, really, their arrogance. "We're the best of the disciples." I mean, they didn't quite say it, but they almost said it. It shows their lack of humility. It reveals their lack of understanding and lack of maturity. They'd not understood what the kingdom of God is like. The first shall be last and the last shall be first. They hadn't got it. Mark 10:28-31. Then Peter spoke up. "We've left everything to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, along with persecution. Just slip that in there. And in the age to come, eternal life. But as many of you who are first will be last, and the last will be first. And the comparison between James and John with Bartimaeus is stark. It's amazing, really. It's so vast. Jesus, we have followed you. We've done your work. We've put up with all this. We deserve honor. That's the comments of the disciples. And Bartimaeus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He knows his place. What a difference. Jesus, I know who you are, was Bartimaeus's real, that was his heart. He would have heard the stories from afar. You must be the Messiah. I need you, Jesus. What a very different approach than the disciples who've been with Jesus. I know you can recover my blindness. Bartimaeus was blind, but in this moment, he could see clearer than the disciples who'd been with Jesus day in, day out for a long time, or a number of years by that time. I don't know about you, but I have blind spots. Anyone here have blind spots? Yeah, anyone not have a blind spot? You can't really answer that, can you? Because that reveals you've got a blind spot. But anyway, I didn't see any hands up, so we were okay. I think this question reveals our blind spots, and other questions in this series, reveals what's on our heart, what makes us tick. Now, I gave the end extreme of, I want the lottery, but there's a whole lot of things in between where we say things or act a certain way that sort of reveal, I'm not all in at this moment for Jesus. And that's where he wants us to get us to. He's asking these questions because he's revealing our heart. He's revealing those blind spots that we become more like Jesus. Jesus obviously knows the answers to the questions. And as he asks him, he's helping us. And as he asks us, he's helping us to understand our heart. We're like James and John in that moment. It's distorted. Or maybe like Bartimaeus, who reveals faith and depth of understanding who Jesus is. Maybe we're more like him. But I'm always encouraged by the disciples because they're just like you and me. They're flawed in so many ways. And Jesus is flawless in every way. The grace of God is so evident in James and John's life because they wanted the glory, they wanted the position, they wanted all of that. Yet God used them powerfully. God takes us on a journey. He took them on a journey to become more like Jesus. Can you drink the cup I drink? Jesus said to them. Well, they did, because of the outrageous grace of God in their lives, like it is in ours. It might not be written about. It might just go into what seemingly is oblivion in the decades in front of us. But God's doing a work. The grace of God is at work in our lives to change us. Might not always feel like it. It might feel like we're treading water. But he's at work in our lives. Jesus said this, "Go, your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the way. Bartimaeus didn't look back. He followed Jesus. And that's what I'd love to say for us. Don't look back. Let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of your faith and my faith. So we want to follow him with our whole being. We'll have moments where we take a step back and a step to the side and we're a bit lukewarm or we're even cold. But the Holy Spirit is at work in us to bring us to a place where we say, oh yeah, Jesus, it's all about you. And that's what I want us to be like. That's what I want to be like. It's a narrow gate, right, to follow Jesus. This is not an easy time to follow Jesus, perhaps. But the rewards. It says, in this life, 100 times. And then how much more in the eternal life, into eternity. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asks each one of us. And it might be healing today. You might need some healing. Well, we'd love to pray and see Jesus come and heal you. It might be there's some spiritual blindness. Something has come to your mind where you think, oh yeah, I'm really off track on this. Well, we want to pray for you. Maybe there are things you need to throw aside, that cloak, that metaphorical cloak that you're hanging on to that just hinders you and continues to hinder you as you follow after Jesus. Maybe you just, I want more of him because he's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings and he is so worth following. Toby, if you could come up on the band, that would be fantastic. Thank you. Because I think whenever we hear the word of God, there's a response. And the response is today, I think, it might be some of those things I said. And maybe they didn't speak to you, but it is, Jesus, I want more of you. And he wants to come and meet with us where we're at. And then we're going to worship for a bit. And then we're going to come and have communion. And that'll be an opportunity when we have communion to pray for one another wherever you want to respond. But let's come and worship him. He's worthy of our praise. He's the best, right? Let's stand to our feet.